Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet The Amazing Podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Do you have drive to pursue a passion? Are you willing to grind it out? You know, it's not always easy, and the things that you have to juggle, the hats you have to wear, and the push and the years it might take to really get where you want to be or where you feel like you're led to be. Well, I want to encourage you today. My guest is Amber Balkin, and she is proof of putting in the work and doing whatever it takes and having that drive to push for her passion. And her passion, she's a driver. She's a race car driver. She shares today the grind, the hardships, the struggle, but she also shares the successes and the satisfaction and the gratification that she gets from pushing hard and grinding it out. She's such an example of what it is to be a strong person. And I gained a lot from this conversation for myself. And so my hope is that you're going to be just as motivated, encouraged, and inspired. Welcome to the show, Amber.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. And excited to talk to you because the race car world is mostly men, and here you are, a leading female in the industry. Tell us a little bit about your family and how you got the bug to race.
Yeah, so I'm double-blooded, which means my mom came from racing and my dad's a race car driver as well. So my mom didn't race, but it's because she wasn't really allowed to, because back then females weren't as accepted into racing. So her brother raced, her father raced. My parents met at the racetrack and had me. So it's ever since I knew what racing was, I was addicted to it. Just even watching it, I thought it was so mesmerizing, and I knew that I wanted to race like right away. So up until 10 years old, I begged and begged my dad to let me race. And then finally, my mom said she's never going to stop asking, so you might as well let her. And he said, okay, yeah, you can race, but there's a few conditions. You have to work on the car yourself, and you have to raise the money to pay for the car yourself as well. So there I was at 10 years old, knocking on doors, asking for $100 here, $100 there to pay for tires and fuel. And that was 18 years ago now.
That's so cool. I love this because you're a young girl, and dad wasn't going to do it for you.
No, he was not.
And that's obviously set you up for where you are in your life now, because I've read a lot about you and about your work ethic and the hustle and grind. And we've even seen that on the Racing Wives TV show when you had to go for sponsorship. So, you know, this really shows where that came from. What would you say to a young girl that is looking, you know, to do something like that?
Yeah, I think whether it's racing or business, or if you want to be a doctor, honestly, anything, you just have to, it sounds so cheesy, but you just really have to believe in yourself, and whatever other people say, just don't let other people's opinions dictate the decisions you make for your life. You need to go in full force. If you're passionate and this is what you love and this is what you want to do, then absolutely go for it. But the hard road is not, accomplishments don't come easily. And if you choose the hard road, you need to know that there is going to be struggle. There are going to be setbacks. There are going to be adversity to overcome, but you just have to keep being persistent and keep strong. And I mean, I have mental breakdowns every other week, but you just keep going, right? And just be strong and be persistent. And if you believe in yourself and you really want something, then absolutely go for it.
Did you find yourself in a position where even after you accomplished something, like it was like, it's not enough
yeah.
in that world?
Absolutely. Like every time I accomplished something, I thought that it would make my next step easier, and it didn't. When I became the first Canadian female to win an NASCAR sanctioned race in the USA, I was like, great, this is going to open so many doors. Sponsorship's going to be so easy. Like, this is awesome. And that wasn't the case at all. Like, I thought I was going to have sponsors coming to me left and right, and that it just wasn't the case. I still had to work just as hard because I wanted to move up to the next level of NASCAR, which required a lot more money. And NASCAR is all about funding. If you don't have the financial backing, then you can't race. And unfortunately, the last few years of my career, I haven't raced full time because of the lack of financial backing. And that that's not only hard as a driver because I'm not getting to develop my skills how I want, but it's hard emotionally because, you know, I gave up everything for racing and I love racing and it's what I want to do every day and I wasn't getting to do it. So even just that roller coaster of emotions, I have to work through that and still have the confidence to be like, yeah, I can still get in the car and I can still win and I can still do this. Like I said before, you have to know that when you do choose the hard route, it is going to be a struggle. But in saying that, it's 10 times more rewarding because when you do accomplish the things you set out to do, it's the best feeling in the world.
There's probably such a rush from when you do get to accomplish it. And especially with you, when you get behind the wheel and you get on that track, I know for you that just doing that with all the work you have to do on top of the skills, like all the back end stuff, like raising the money, that's a lot. So mad appreciation for what you do as a driver.
I like to say, like, I'm pretty much a businesswoman, marketing manager first, and then race car driver second, because I'm constantly selling myself to get the sponsorship to be able to get in the car to then race and develop my skills to win races and win championships. So it's a long, long, heavy road, but like I said, I love it so much and I can't imagine myself doing anything else. So that, to me, the grind is worth it and the work's worth it, because when I do get in the car, you can't wipe the smile off my face.
That's so awesome. So talking about racing, you started with dirt track and then you went to NASCAR. Like what was the transition there? Why did you want to go from dirt track to racing?
So my whole family always raced dirt and they race as a hobby. So they still worked from Monday to Friday and raced on weekends. And I went to business school and for my 2-year degree, and I went for my 4-year, and I was sitting in class one day and I had an aha moment. And I was like, what do you want to be sitting at a desk all day? No. Like, what do you want to do? I want to race cars. Well, then go do it. So that day I came home to my parents. I'm like, I really want to race cars for a living as a profession. And my parents were like, it's going to be really hard to do. And I had no idea how hard it actually was going to be, but I was like, oh, I'm up for it. Like, this is what I want to do. So that year I had my first full season in a 410 sprint car, which is on dirt. I did well. The years leading up to that, I raced mini sprints. So kind of like a mini version of that. Did really well and caught the eye of the NASCAR diversity program. So the NASCAR diversity program brings in different ethnicities and genders into racing to try to make it more diverse. And before that, I really didn't think that NASCAR was a possibility for me. I'm like, I'm a girl growing up in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Like we traveled 2.5 hours to race at Grand Forks, like North Dakota. Like I never thought that it would be possible. But it's something that was really intrigued me. And I'm like, yeah, like, let's do it. And so the year after my 410 sprint car year, won Rookie of the Year, had a great year there, but the car owner didn't want to be a car owner anymore. So I was out of a ride and I said, why not switch now to pavement? So I went to pavement. And so 2016, 20, and up until this past year, I ran pavement and it was a totally new challenge. I had to learn, even though it's still racing, the NASCAR industry is completely different than the dirt track racing industry. So I had to learn teams. I had to learn the different types of cars, the different types of series, what was going to be best for me for my growth as a driver to develop the skills that I need to be a top NASCAR driver, and then the funding as well. So it was a learning experience. It was awesome though, because I got to meet so many great people, and that is kind of what leads me into racing, doing the TV show Racing Wives. I met Samantha Bush during this time, and Samantha said, you know, I would love to have a female driver at KBM. I think you're the perfect, this was after I won that race. She said, I think you'd be the perfect girl. And it was the same time that they started filming the CEMT show, and they're like, you, and Sam's like, I think they would really like you. And so I had an interview with them. They ended up liking me, and that's how the TV show came about. So that my racing hasn't went perfectly as planned, but it has also opened different doors and new opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So it's definitely been worth it.
That's awesome. Well, now, so switching gears, now we're back to dirt track.
Yes.
So, and then I know recently, cause I had told you, we talked prior, that I had read that you had been in an accident and you're actually, you know, finishing up recovery now.
Yeah.
But my biggest question to you with that is, like, how do you overcome fear and getting back behind the wheel?
I've done this my whole life. So, and I've crashed quite a few times, especially on dirt. I consider pavement to be a little bit more safe, especially at most of the tracks that I were at were a little bit smaller tracks. So the speeds weren't as high. And, but I love dirt so much. and I've wrecked a lot on dirt. So I think it's like, it's, you fall off the horse, you get back on the horse. It's just when you're a driver, that's all you know. That's all you know what to do. So you just keep doing it. This past accident though was the worst crash I've ever had. I was in the hospital for 3 days, had my lungs were collapsed, severe concussion. And I've had quite a few wrecks, but none that ended up in the hospital. So this one definitely hit a little different. Right after the crash, I wondered if I wanted to go back, but the next day I was like, no, I for sure want to race again. So I've been rehabilitating, doing physiotherapy. I say I'm about 90 to 95% where I need to be. So just need to work a little harder at the gym. But to answer your question on why going back to dirt, dirt track racing is where I started. It's really my true love and passion. It's a little bit harder to make a career and have, you know, that big platform. That's what I love the idea of NASCAR, to have that big flat platform to be able to inspire and empower people, especially because, you know, I didn't come from a ton of money and I had to work really hard to make it on my own. I wanted to show people like, look, if I can do this, you can too. But it just got to a point where the funding was so, so tough to get. We're looking for millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, I said, I'm going to go back to dirt and try that out. It costs a lot less money and I love it. It's so much fun. The atmosphere, the people actually driving the car itself, I think is a lot more fun. Even though it's more dangerous, it's super fun. So that's why I switched back to dirt. But unfortunately, I've been out of the car the last couple months now because I've been rehabilitating. But I really hope to get back at the end of September or early October.
That's awesome. Well, I know for me, I'll be cheering you on. I know nothing about race car driving or even dirt track racing. Like, this is a completely different side of...
You've got to come to a race.
Oh, I will totally come.
You're going to be addicted, though. I'm telling you.
I will totally come and see one and see you. That would be okay. Awesome. So, yeah, let me know. I'm in. And I might bring a group with me. We'll just have
you
to come.
Do. The more, the merrier.
It'll be a blast. Well, so with... when you get ready for a race, and I always ask these kind of questions because they're always fun, what is like your game day ritual? Like, is there something that you do every time before you get ready for a race?
I say on the drive there, I always crank the music, get some pump up music going, you know, getting excited. Right before the race, I always have my nervous pee. Like, no matter what, I always have to pee right before I get in the car. And so I run to the car, hop in. And then I don't think I necessarily have any superstitions or anything. Well, actually, that's not true. Green at the racetrack. You're not supposed to wear green, which I don't know
okay.
I don't know the story behind it, but I will never wear green on race day. And then the way I put on my equipment, my safety equipment, I have to put on the exact same way every time. Other than that, give my crew chief a little pound. If my fiance's there, we do our handshake and that's about it.
That's awesome. Well, I knew you would have something. I'm like, she is bound to have like either some song or something she has to wear every time. Like I knew there had to be something. So thank you for sharing that. And talking about your fiance, you're getting married, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm getting married in January. COVID pending, but so far it's looking pretty good. So he's a professional football player, so it's really great being both athletes. We really understand each other and what we're going through and the ups and downs of it, and can support each other. I've been very, very focused on racing in my career pretty much my whole life, especially the last 5 or 6 years. And so for me, I was like, I don't want to have a partner unless they get this with me, and they're 100% backing me and supporting me. And even after a nasty crash like that, I mean, he's not super excited about me going right back, but he knows that it's what I love. So,
well, congratulations on your upcoming marriage. And I know it's going to be beautiful without a doubt. Before we go, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners, which most of the audience is going to be women? There'll probably be men listening as well, but just if there's anything left on your heart you want to share.
Yeah, I think first of all, if you anyone ever has any questions, whether it be about racing or business or being a female in a male-dominated industry, please reach out to me. I am always willing to talk to people and help people however I can. Recently, I've been helping other younger female drivers look for sponsors and kind of help them with their marketing decks and things like that. So if I can be of help in any way, please reach out to me. Secondly, just go for it and try to put all the other stuff to the side. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, never let other people dictate the decisions you make for yourself. If it makes you happy and you're not hurting anyone along the way, then absolutely go for it. You have one life to live. Live it to the fullest. You don't want to have regrets. And one thing I always like try to, every podcast I do, I try to, every month I learn something or I think about something different. And right now, the thing that I've learned, and people might disagree with me about this, and that's totally okay. But for me personally, I'm a very emotional person. I'm very sensitive. I'm a Pisces. We're like very woo, you know. and I'm very sensitive and emotional and passionate, which is a really good thing. But it can also kind of have its downfalls. And something that I've been trying to do more lately in business and in racing is to think more with logic than emotion. And so I think that would be my kind of monthly piece of advice that I have is try to, when it comes to business and athletics and stuff, try to think more logistically than emotionally. Cause I think it helps push you further and it helps you stay more level-headed rather than getting too high or too low. Because like I said earlier, if you take the hard road, you're going to have to deal with a lot of crap. So you got to kind of be able to stay level-headed through it all. I think another piece of advice for women in male-dominated industries is just really to see yourself as equal, because if you can't see yourself as equal, then you can't expect other people to treat you as equal, and try to take the gender role out of it and just say, you know, I'm not a good driver for a girl, I'm a good race car driver, and, you know, work hard to gain their respect, and I think that's really all it takes.
Well, I just want to say thank you, because you are one of the most humble, sweet, authentic individuals that I have come into meet in such a quick, I mean, it was just immediate. I knew I'd been following you for a while and had seen you on Instagram. I'd seen you on Racing Wives, and I was like, oh, I'm going to reach out to her, because for me, this podcast is something new, and I was just branching out and wanting to share stories of amazing women so that everyone can feel encouraged and supported and uplifted. And I was like, I really want to reach out to Amber, and I don't know if she's going to respond. And you responded immediately. So when you are saying like, reach out to you, you are genuine about that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah. So thank you so much for taking time today. Thank you for being on the Be Amazing podcast, and I can't wait to share it.
And I really want to work out with you. Like,
so going to do that.
When I come back to Charlotte, I want you to kick my butt.
You got it. Not a problem. Well, I'm so excited. Thank you so much again, Amber, for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.